Thank you, Haley, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for your interest in UBM and the results of the first 9 months. Q3 has again been a quarter which came in above expectations. Remember, we were guiding you to expect a flat third quarter, and we generated an additional 7 million euros EBT in the last 3 months. Before Patrick is presenting the numbers, let me give you an overview where we stand with UBM in the context of the second lockdown. If you go to slide number three, the transformation of UBM is in full swing. While we are back at 2.2 billion euros regarding the pipeline, this pipeline now consists of 50% residential and 30% office. Only 15, 15% are made up by hotel still. We are witnessing a residential boom and provide you with evidence that there is a strong demand for new type offices. We also believe that real asset inflation is going to continue. Our strategy change to sustainability, technological, and emotional intelligence is additionally supported by this megatrend also governing the fund management industry. I have already mentioned better than anticipated operational results, and we are going to share our outlook for the full year, next year, and 2022, of course, based on various assumptions. Let me, however, start with a recap of this year to put it all into context. Slide number four. We started the year 2020 in the old world, a seller's market for real estate developers and a share price of around 50 with an upside trend. And then came Corona, the black swan, the first lockdown. We have decided that COVID came to stay and reacted fast and decisive. We stopped all hotel projects which were not under construction already. We were shrinking the pipeline to 1.25 billion euros and took write-downs on our hotel operations. The to-be-expected reaction of the share price was that it more than halved to €23.60. Since the beginning of summer, we have worked on a new setup: green, smart, and more. Hindsight proves we were right. Amidst a second lockdown, which is not going to be the last one, we have changed almost all hotel projects into other asset classes and reestablished a 2.2 billion euro heavy pipeline. To the extent the market is looking at small caps at all, the market has been giving us little credit so far, reflected in the share price, which is telling us that an almost 50% discount to book value is equally justified as no credit to the EBT potential of the pipeline, which could be anything between 200 and 300 million euros based on a 10 to 15% developer margin. Fair enough, that's the capital market, seeing is believing. Where do we stand? Please follow me to chart number five. Here are the facts. 1.1 billion euros of our project pipeline is in residential. Remember, the most favored asset class by real estate investors at the moment. More than 600 million of euros worth of new type office projects need some more explanation and, admittedly, some conviction. 80% of our projects are in Germany and Austria, the two countries where the majority of economists expect the fastest recovery and the strongest macroeconomic reserves. And our largest project in Germany is only partially included, as we present you with a 4-year rolling pipeline only. This is the Bauberger Straße project, of course. Looking at chart six, you can see where the optimism for resi is coming from. The last 10 years of real estate inflation point the way into the future. Looking at the three markets in which we develop more than 3,000 apartments going forward, you can see real estate inflation has been four times higher than consumer price inflation. And we even believe that this picture might accelerate as people start losing trust in money. actually something that the ECB yesterday said is also on their mind. With 1,000 apartments sold in 10 months, we have never sold more in such a short period of time. Interestingly enough, the vast majority has been sold to institutional investors, particularly the market leader, Vonovia. If anything, we see a sales price upside from the experience that we make with individual sales activities. So what about office? Please turn to chart number 7. We see an entirely new market situation with entirely new demand drivers. Demand driver number 1 is a significantly shrinking appetite for risk on the buyer side. This results in institutional demand focusing on A locations, top credit tenants, and developers with a strong balance sheet. The perfect match of these requirements is our FAZ Tower, the Tower for Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung. This is why we were able to sell it a few days ago to Hanse Merkur Insurance Group. The purchase price of 196 million euros represents a multiple of more than 30 times annual rent, a price at which we have never sold an office building in Germany in the past. However, I must admit, it's been a while that we have sold an office building in Germany. Demand driver number 2 is our conviction that you can only bring your employees back to office if you are credibly telling them that their office is going to feel as good and as safe as working from home. This means the office is meeting the demands of a post-corona world, which will be governed by the fear of future pandemics or further outbreaks. It can only be achieved by an office which is a lot smarter. This means a lot more of sensors, a much stronger IP backbone, and a very different look and feel or emotional intelligence, if you want. It is unthinkable, absolutely unthinkable, that you will achieve this by asking your employees to come back to exactly the same office which they left before COVID. This is why we believe the new world is a nightmare for traditional type office holders, but heaven for new type office developers. Demand driver number 3 is riding the megatrend sustainability by developing truly green buildings with alternative building materials and ventilation systems, as an example. As a welcome side effect, we are going to bring down operating costs of such buildings significantly. Does it sound too visionary for you? Let's turn to chart 8. Within 6 months, we have not only changed a 350 rooms hotel to an office building, we have changed the building right next to FAZ Tower to Frankfurt's first hybrid timber construction office of size, with 17,500 square meters of gross floor area above ground. Do not get me wrong, we are not there yet. However, Frankfurt city authorities, all involved parties on our side, and last but definitely not least, potential investors, have shown very strong interest to make it happen. We have tendered the timber construction, and not only have there been more than a handful of suppliers, but we are pretty confident that at the end of the day, this timber hybrid structure comes at comparable cost to conventional construction. That's an important one. And as I say, we base it on the current status of the tender. Finally, let me answer the question, what is this green, smart, and more all about? Please turn to chart 9. First of all, it gives us at UBM a clear new direction as a group. No doubt, sustainability, intelligence in building, and a much higher expectation for aesthetics has been in the air for a while. It has been there before Corona. But it was more of a side aspect or a byproduct. Now, we have put it into the center of what we do in the future. Besides, it is something we find our employees easily embark on. A third of our workforce is actively engaged in one of our 7 virtual workshops to define what subjects are going to be put in the focus of our activities, like timber construction under the headline Design and Construction. The situation for all developers is a bit comparable to entering a gourmet restaurant. All starters sound interesting to the extent you know what is behind some of the very exotic names. But you cannot choose 5 starters and 6 main courses and 5 desserts without overeating. You have to choose and compose the perfect menu. This is on which we are working right now. We are going to select a couple of signature dishes and are curious with what ideas our own people come up. We do this for commercial reasons, by the way. With the European Union's Green Deal and the taxonomy guidelines, the fund management industry is going to go through a rapid change from Q2 of next year onwards. We are producing an independent GRI report for 2020 and strive to provide a consistent ESG documentation which is ticking the boxes of our investors. Before going into 2021, I would now like to hand over to Patrick for the financials. Patrick.
Thank you, Thomas, and good morning, everybody, also from my side, from the home office. As Thomas already mentioned in his introduction, from a financial point of view, we look back at very good 9 months in 2020, and this holds true in all financial dimensions, our profitability, our balance sheet, and our cash position. But let me explain one by one. Please turn to slide number 10 for our earnings development in the first 3 quarters. Despite the challenges we all face in our markets and working environment, we have reported a positive result in every quarter in 2020, although we had to compensate for material negative corona earnings effects, be it our hotel operational business or negative effects from FX fluctuations. In the first 9 months of 2020, pre-tax profit rose to 51 million euros, which corresponds to an increase of 10.4% year on year. Also, in terms of net profit, we delivered a strong result of more than 33 million euros. Composition of the result was very different, with more income coming from fully consolidated entities in Germany, and therefore we had a much higher tax rate in the first 9 months 2020 in comparison to last year. The strong result is coming from our core business, real estate development, which is up and running. The construction sites of our forward sold projects were making progress, and residential sales are doing well, which led to corresponding POC contributions. The biggest POC contribution in the reporting period came from our QBC 1-2 office project, which will be completed by the end of this year. The QBC 1-2 is the last part of our major urban development project next to Vienna's main railway station, with an overall sales volume of more than 450 million euros. Besides that, we were successful in the residential asset class, as Thomas already mentioned. The result includes material negative effects from the current corona crisis. We have been able to absorb some of the negative effects because we took fast and decisive actions. Negative corona effects include the hotel operations write-downs and also FX effects. Already in Q2, the value of the hotel operating company was written down to zero. This included the book value, shareholder loans, and accumulated operational losses. Overall, the effect from the hotel business amounted to minus 15 million euros. Of course, this figure needs to be re-evaluated by the end of the year when we are more clever on the impact of the second wave of the lockdowns. In addition, the earnings include negative effects from FX valuations of 22 million euros. We had negative currency effects mainly from the Polish zloty. They are reflected in our P&L in the other operating expenses, as well as in the at-equity result. All in all, we are pleased with the earnings development in 2020 so far, which is stronger than we had expected right after the corona outbreak. But we are also aware of the fact that the second corona wave has reached Europe at full speed and a challenging Q4 lies in front of us. Please turn now to slide number 11. The balance sheet has so far proven its resilience. Our cleanup work of the last years pays off. Equity increased by 135 million euros since 2016. This 476 million euros, we have the highest equity ever at this time of the year. With a balance sheet total of 1.4 billion euros, this translates into a strong equity ratio of 34.3%. Due to further investments in the course of the next year, the ratio could come down a bit, but we are strongly committed to our target range of 30 to 35%. Net debt was reduced by 180 million euros in only 4 years. Net debt increased a bit since end of the year and now stands at around 500 million euros. But if you put it in relation to our balance sheet total, our LTV is still quite favorable for a developer. It amounts to 37% by the end of September and gives us enough room to maneuver when investment opportunities arise. But we have not only prepared ourselves for upcoming project opportunities with a solid balance sheet, we also have built up a reasonable cash cushion. Please follow me to the next chart, chart number 12. On this chart, you can see that we have even more cash at our disposal than before the corona crisis. Let me remind you of our Q1 presentation in May, when the effects of the crisis were not yet clear. We prepared ourselves for a hibernation scenario with the real estate transaction market at standstill for up to or even more than 1 year. On top of that, we assumed that the debt market remains closed, not only for bonds, but also for project financings. We were hoping that this would turn out to be too pessimistic, but we were preparing for the worst. Now, 6 months down the road, our cautious scenario looks brighter and we worked hard over the summer to be able to release cash to a certain extent and therefore to have more financial headroom when it comes to acquisitions. What does this mean? Sales markets are open. After a short lockdown of the real estate market, also when it comes to residential or office, we were upon the first to be able to sell again on a pre-corona price level or even better. Project financing is possible when quality parameters are met and for high credit worthiness candidates. It is possible to finance projects again, but banks are much more risk averse than pre-corona. This is true for the project risks standalone, but also for the risks financial fitness of the parental company. Group refinancing. The bond and Schuldschein market were closed and are only opening very slowly. Despite our flat repayment profile, we have started over the summer to evaluate our options when it comes to early refinancing exchange offers. The market is still not where it used to be, but we are confident to successfully tap the market with a 50 to 70 million ticket until the end of the year. So not only cash as an absolute number has changed over the last quarters, but also the risk cushion we need to sustain. Also, in this difficult market environment, we succeed in optimizing our financial structure. We are definitely ready and able to take advantage of opportunities whenever they arise. Now back to Thomas for the outlook.
Thank you, Patrick. A great set of numbers. This brings us to the last slide of the presentation, the outlook. It is fair to say that 2020 is going to come in stronger than anybody was anticipating at the end of March, including ourselves. It is going to bring very solid results, less top line and more profits. Needless to say that 2020 is, however, going to come in significantly below record 2019. 2021 is going to see a corona dent, quote unquote, and a corona delle. The extent is still open in the light of the ongoing uncertainties, and nobody is able to say how long this lockdown is going to last, or if we are seeing further lockdowns before a vaccine is approved and successfully rolled out, so that it makes a difference. It cannot come as a surprise after no project acquisitions in 2020 that in the likely absence of forward transactions in 2021, we shall have to rely on percentage of completion contributions to a major extent. The mentioned uncertainties help, however, for 2022, as they increase the likelihood of projects, particularly of non-listed developers, facing increasing difficulties. With extension of bank financings, lack of trading opportunities combined with lack of capacity to execute construction, and mezzanine investors who see the opportunity to turn the money quick in other projects or other areas of business, we will see opportunities promised. All of this put together leaves UBM in an increasingly privileged position. We meet the requirements of the banks, investors, and tenants. In other words, the likelihood of market opportunities bringing us back to pre-corona earnings levels increases exponentially with the duration of the lockdown, as sad as it sounds. Let me now open the line for your questions and thank you for your attention.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. And one moment for the first question, please. And the first question is from a line of Julius Sinauer of Hauck & Aufhäuser. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a couple of questions, actually. Let me start one by one. I think that's the easiest way. So first, what do you think is the effect of the current lockdowns on your business? Can you already outline the impact from it on Q4? And also given the fact that we are quite have moved into Q4 already, and do you expect more hotel write-downs in the last quarter?
Look, the lockdown started after 30th of September. Let's not forget it. It already feels like a lot longer. Most of our hotels are again in hibernation mode. This is true mm-hmm. for the German hotels, for most hotels in Poland, but not for all yet. And it is unclear what the subsidies that we are receiving for them are going to be. As you know, there is an ongoing discussion. You can only apply for November since yesterday, I think, or the day before yesterday. So it's a bit difficult to arrive at precise numbers. The key, however, is what are the negotiations, the discussions that are ongoing with our owners going to bring? Because that's the question where we are at the moment completely at the loose end. They have gestundet. They have waived our payment obligation, so we don't have to pay the monthly rents. But it doesn't mean that we don't have to pay them in the future. And it's easy to figure out. We now have 9 months this year, okay, where we had very little business that we could do. Our average occupancy rate, of course, excluding December, but extrapolated December, is going to be just above 23%. And then the big question is, what does this mean going forward, and to what extent can we recover the remaining losses, as described, going forward? If we were able to give a better assessment, of course, it would have been included in the nine-month figures.
Okay, thank you. So that, but the subsidies for the closed hotels in Germany, I think they will be paid as far as I know, and probably there will also be subsidies for December. So this should put, like, get some pressure off probably of the operators, I assume, but you don't really know the full effect yet, I guess.
Exactly, and yeah. And it's a number which will not suffice to pay the rental obligations that we have incurred.
And then on the another question section on the pipeline, on your development pipeline, you said that it grew to 2.2 billion. Are there any new projects, or are there only reactivated projects for the time being? And how do you see acquisition opportunities in the markets developing? So is there anything new coming to the markets? You're saying, you already said in the last call, you expect that it's coming to the market, but can you actually already see new offers in the market?
Mm-hmm. It's all reactivated projects. We didn't do any project acquisitions in 2020, and we didn't do them on purpose. In the first 6 to 8 months, we didn't do them for cautionary reasons. And ever since, it is a little bit like the situation in which soldiers are that are defending, the people in the wild west from the Indians. We are sitting in our round and waiting for the Indians to come. And the big question is, when do you start to shoot? If you shoot too early, you will miss a lot. If you shoot too late, they will break through your lines. And that is pretty much the situation as we have it right now. There are projects or real estate coming to the market. Okay, you hear about the most prominent hotel bankruptcies, but and potential conversions into other usages, asset classes. But all we see at the moment is all you saw before the tsunami. It's not the tsunami yet. So the question really is, what is the best timing, when have you kind of, kept your powder dry for too long, and when is it too early to shoot?
But you still expect that to happen in 21, and maybe in the first half year, or
Julius. Your common sense, what does your common sense tell you? I mean, you have friends that are working in less privileged areas than you do. I see people getting now really depressed, okay? I see friends who have never worried about the future since I know them, and I've known them for 30 years. All of this, okay, is not going to be resolved overnight. And the longer you wait, the longer it lasts, and that's the point that I wanted to make at the end of my presentation, the more likely it is, okay, that it makes sense. And if it's only for risk-sharing reasons, to share upside of projects by securing the full financing of these projects, that in many cases, not if they are under construction, but before this point, have been delayed significantly. I mean, we are talking 9 months minimum. Yeah. So it is going to come. And as I said, nobody knows. You only know it then in hindsight, if you waited too long to shoot or if you shot too early. I'm afraid I can't give you a better answer on this one.
Okay, understood. Two more rather probably shorter questions. So you sold the FAZ tower, and what do you think is the impact on the EBT in 2020 already? Do you expect a significant uplift in the fourth quarter given that disposal compared to the third quarter, for example?
Yep, that is a question I would take a. Yes, of course. So selling the FAZ tower is giving us some tailwind when it comes to our PUC in the fourth quarter. What I would see from today's point of view is roughly that we are talking about 7 to maybe 8 million. This is coming from the fact that we are facing here at equity and that we get the numbers only in after we have already taxed them. And in Germany, the tax rate is quite high. I made that point also in my presentation when it came to why is the 51 million only translating into 33 million net income. And when you have a net equity, you see that already far, far above the tax line. So that is the reason. The answer is yes, some tailwind from this one, but let's see what headwind we are getting from the quarter from the corona effect.
Okay, so you say 7 to 8 million EBT, was it?
Right? Yes.
Okay, thank you. And my final question is really, are there any potential upside triggers for 21? Because you said like in 21 it will be rather maybe a flat year compared to 2020 or no, nothing really exciting. So do you expect, or are there any potential upside triggers for next year that could probably turn this 21 into a better year, maybe?
Well, we have a couple of projects where we have to make the tough choice. Are we selling them, okay, or are we executing them? Of course, if you execute them, the absolute contribution, earnings contribution, might be higher, but it comes in later. Or do we actually sell them with the additional value that we have created for them, which could be right to a building permit? And that is what we are currently contemplating to make the year 2021 a dent, okay, a delay. But it's too early to really report about it.
Okay, so I understand you have some options possibly, but you're still thinking about it.
Yes, and options always depend on, you know, we are not alone. We need to find somebody who's prepared then to come up with the price that we are expecting.
Okay, well understood. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Julius.
The next question is from Simon Stippig of Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Perfect. So my first question, I would also ask them one by one, is regarding the Timber Tower in Frankfurt. And I would ask if you could please give a little bit more of an insight into the construction time and also the cost per square meter and maybe the CO2 advantages versus conventional construction.
Yeah. We don't have a building permit, and before you have a building permit, it's almost impossible to give you then a completion date. All I can say is that the Frankfurt authorities are very, very comforting. Because they also want to have a timber construction office in Frankfurt. So that's encouraging. We don't give cost per square meter prices, but we gave you a hint in our presentation that we believe, based on the current tender that we have been running and more than expected participants, i.e. more than five, more a number of 10, that we get very competitive prices, and at the end of the day, it could be that we come out with a price that is comparable to conventional construction. And last but not least, it is very attractive for investors based on early stage discussions that we had with them to invest in green, because as from 1st of April, okay, they will have to prove that a certain percentage of their investment is in green investment. And so they are all keen to look at this investment opportunity, even if it's somewhat smaller than the FSTR.
Okay, great. And just in total volume, what do you expect in rough either construction cost or selling price?
Well, a sales price should be close to a three-digit million price.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And then second question would be in regard to the Frankfurt Allgemeine Zeitung tower sale in Frankfurt. First of all, congratulations. And my question would be your forward sale contract to Hanse Merkur. What exact performance metrics on rental level and vacancy are included there, if any?
Well, thank you for the congratulations. Obviously, the tower is rented out for 15 years to FAZ, so it's 100% occupancy rate, no performance level on this one. And we have to hand it over by end of Q3 2022 with the standard quality parameters that we have. Okay?
Okay, great. So there's, I mean, logically, there should be no issue in actually finishing the tower and also providing it in the standard quality parameters to Hanse Merkur at that time.
Looking at the last 147 years, no.
Okay, great. That's a good, very comforting answer. And then maybe one or two questions to Mr. Tate. So in regard to the balance sheet, the sort of financial liabilities increased to around a quarter billion euros from 200 million in Q2 20. Could you just explain that a little bit, what that was, and for maybe even for what project? That would be great.
Yes, of course. So one project which kicked into this one, or let me say what we did at the beginning of the year, and also with a short break after the corona crisis had made it able to again finance projects. So we had the Siebenbrunnengasse. That is one of the big projects here, which started. We have acquired that last year, first of mm-hmm. all, with equity. And when we started it, we financed it, and then we got a good part of the equity back, because that is a standing, a refurbishment of the standing. So you have the big block you paid at front, and you got some of that back. So you have the jump in the credit. Then there were the hotels in Poland with Milinska and Mogilska. They were pre-sold before the crisis, but they had to be financed in the crisis, which worked out. And a smaller part of the what you call a jump is also coming, that for the one or the other project, an unencumbered one, we started to have a financing on them. So these are the major items. But most of the so-called jump or increase is just coming from projects which are started to go into the construction phase and being tapped from the bank financing loan.
Okay, great. And then one question maybe to the cash flow statement. Also, there was an increase in the investments in PP&E.
Yes.
To maybe that would also be great, just if you could give me a little bit of more detail to where the capital was allocated to. Is it again Siebenbrunnengasse, or is it?
No, that is not Siebenbrunnengasse. That is more, most of it, I think you refer to the roughly 20 million which
yeah.
are going into this number. That is predominantly coming from Knotterdijk. That is a project in Netherlands, a hotel we have already started before the corona crisis, and which we built until the end, of course. And then there is a smaller part going to the Polish projects because they needed a bit more equity. We have financed them meanwhile, but nevertheless, we needed to bring up the equity at the start, and that's basically it. So the biggest part of that is coming from Kräuterdijk.
Okay, great. And one last one. In regard to your standing assets, the Polecki in Poland, I just saw that it decreased a little bit in value, not by much, but still 3%, but more than 3%. Could you explain that from last? I think it was from Q2 onwards.
Yeah, that is the currency fluctuation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And we have not revalued it. Because your question is probably hinting into this direction. Have we revalued anything there?
Yeah.
No, the answer is no.
Okay, great. And maybe just one last one. Roughly of your 2.2 billion, roughly how much of that is already forward sold in euro volume?
Thomas, question for you, or should
yeah,
I?
Yeah, no. I was working it out. It's a bit unprepared for me because we have a 4-year pipeline, and obviously the forward sales are more for 21 and 22. I'd say it's a third.
Okay, great. Perfect. Thank you very much for taking my questions.
Sure.
The next question is from Stefan Scharf of SRC Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Stefan here from SRC from Frankfurt. I have a couple of questions, but I will also do it step by step. So the first question is about your net debt. It's a little bit up, about 20 million in the third quarter. What's your expectation here for the final quarter, and what could be a fair assumption for next year for the development of your net debt? I remember the bond issue was 1 year ago in 4Q 2019. Timing was perfect, and the coupon was also low. So perhaps you can say a little bit more here.
Yeah, of course. Good morning, Stefan. So net debt development until the end of the year. A not easy to be tackled question, if I'm honest. It depends a little bit on the fact, are we able to have a closing before year end, or aren't we able to have a closing? Which is for sure is that we have some cash outs, also cash outs which are going against the net debt. That is because our construction sites are just running full speed, and they will also run in the fourth quarter full speed, hopefully, because that is bringing us, on the other hand, the POC revenues. In terms of income, we might receive something from the signature of the FAZ. That can be a source of it, and we might have a handover until the year end or two smaller ones. So if I put that all into the equation, probably the net debt is not looking much different to the current level for the year end. In terms of the financing, thanks a lot. Yes, we were really glad with the timing last year. It seems, if you look at it from today's point of view, I hope, and that was where I'm hinting at, that we can tap the market nevertheless now in the fourth quarter before year end. It will be not the same size, and it will be a little bit different also in terms of interest rates. But there is coming cash also from this perspective that won't help us in terms of net debt, of course, because this is a neutral transaction. And for next year, that is really a bit up in the air. That depends on many parameters. One is when are the opportunities arising Thomas is talking about. I personally wouldn't be too unhappy if the net debt for a short period of time is increasing, because that would mean that we are able to spend our money reasonable on the one or the other bigger project. But to have a real good stance on where the net debt is next year, I think 10 scenarios in my head where it could go, and it could go up, and it even could go down if we are unlucky, because if it would go down, it would mean we can't spend our money.
Okay, I see. You talked a little bit in your quarterly report about a corona dip coming to your bottom line next year. So, I don't know, QBC will be completed soon, and I would say perhaps it's about more or less just a rough assumption, 10 million lower than this year, your bottom line. Might this be a fair assumption from my side?
Well, let me jump in here because I know what you're where you're pointing to. It really depends now how Corona is developing. You know, it's not in our hand because we have a scenario in our mind where we have several lockdowns that go until May. Do I have any evidence for it? Well, look at NTV this morning. I mean, I couldn't make head or tails. Is the lockdown in Germany now going to last until 20th of December? Is it going to last until beginning of January? And there's one thing for sure. The moment the numbers are going to go up, and that's completely irrespective of any vaccine coming to the market or not, okay, because it won't make a difference at the beginning, it has an impact. As I said, it helps us with getting our arms around new projects, and this is why you see, for a change, the CFO being relaxed about net debt going up. We have the LTV 50% kind of, you know, limit that we have set ourselves, but we have quite some leeway for this. And from that point of view, a lot can happen. We just felt it would be unfair not, you know, to hide behind Corona and say it's not going to have any impact, because there's one thing for sure: with no forward transactions, okay, we won't have POC contributions in 2021. And coming back to Julius's question, we are now looking at trading opportunities, if you want. I mean, it's more than trading that could compensate to a certain extent, but that's of course betting on buyers paying a full price to the one or other project that we have.
Okay, I see. So you told us that the third quarter, Thomas, is much better in terms of pre-tax, 7 million plus, and you more or less expected a flattish zero third quarter. Can you give us a little bit more color about the 7 millions, how they are split up? How do they split up?
I could do it if Patrick doesn't.
I was not fast enough to.
Okay.
I'm sorry. So it's coming predominantly from the POC we have received in that quarter. So the overall quarter was to a good extent. I say just in brackets, but just coming from the POC part. That will also carry us a bit through, especially when we get a little bit more tailwind now from the FAZ. On the other hand, what we are seeing is that the QBC, we have another quarter probably for this one, in the fourth quarter, which is also a POC effect. But next year, this will running out for sure, probably even at the end of this year. And the FAZ will jump into this one. So we have a solid basis coming from POC, but the extras, they need to come from something different. Thomas was talking a bit about that, depending on our projects and the stage when we are going to sell them, and if we sell them, and if we find the right buyer for these ones. So that is basically the view to next year.
Okay, I see. One question about the FAZ sale, which you reported on Monday. Congrats for that good deal. One question: if we look at the fourth quarter, the effect from this deal might be, or could be, in my point of view, about 4 or 5 million coming to your P&L. Is this a fair assumption? And how much may we expect here for the next year?
Stefan, I had that already, I think, in one of the other questions, very quickly and briefly talked about it. We are now getting from the signature a good jump in the POC. That is more 7 to 8 million, I would assume, coming from that angle. Also depending on the construction work in the fourth quarter. But like always in POC, you get that as when it kicks in, you get it, the first step is the biggest one in brackets, because you get part of the land you have included into the equation, you get as a POC part of gain for that. So 7 to 8 million.
Okay.
Next year, the question is how the construction is running, but we will get solid POC results from the FAZ tower next year as well.
Okay, I see. Could be the double perhaps between 10 and 15, but I don't want to force you to any answer. So
yes, you shouldn't. As I said, it depends a little bit on the construction work,
okay,
how sick we are with this one. But that is a solid base where we look at when it comes to POC next year.
Okay. And you have the 8 floors building next to it, the timber offices. Can you say a little bit more here what you expect for the building permission, and also how is the interest from tenants and also the interest from institutional investors to invest in the timber offices next to the FRZ tower?
Yes. Well, we've concluded a contract for the ground floor, which is the toughest, okay? It will be Lebensmittel Einzelhandel. I don't want to say more there, because that is missing for this. After we made now a lot of noise, only starting on Monday, okay, I understand that there is quite some interest, particularly from companies that had bigger office space and now are looking for the right office space that goes well with their, you know, company orientation. We have seen interest from potential tenants that need it also for the corporate identity to sit in an office that is a timber construction office. Mm-hmm. However, you know, the 17,500 square meters, and don't pin me down on the square meter, is 15,000 square meters of lettable office space rather mm-hmm. than take out the ground floor. So it's limited. You know, it's for some companies maybe not big enough. But what we feel from the feedback, from the first feedback that we are getting, is very encouraging.
Okay, I see. And also some demand from investors will be there next year. You think so?
Oh yes. Because usually the investors that didn't make it for the FAZ tower pull back and are a little bit in a defiant reaction for a couple of weeks or even months. This time it was not the case. They said, fair enough, okay, we didn't make it, but we remain interested in the other building. And that's very unusual, very unusual.
So that means if the building permission would come in the first half of next year, you could perhaps think about a forward sale, let's say at the end of next year.
That's a very good guess.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks for your question.
Thanks.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. And the next question is from Andre Remke of Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Kurt. Thanks for the presentation. Some remaining questions, probably a follow-up on the fourth quarter, your more cautious stance here. Do you see the risk of write-downs on your hotel projects which are running at the moment, or especially on the standing asset portfolio? This is the first question, please.
Okay. Not on the running projects, i.e. the ones under execution, because two are forward sold. Okay, they are running according to schedule. We won't have any delays. We won't have any penalty payments from today's point of view. Always subject to, you know, any disasters happening. And the four hotel projects that are under construction and haven't been forward sold are also running according to schedule, and they are valued at construction cost. Okay, so the downside here is limited. The thing that is worrying us more is where do we end the discussions with the owners of the 13 hotels which we have rented, okay, and how do we see potential losses there coming in on our side and on their side.
Okay, excellent. Then more looking into 2022, what you did, how decisive is it to find market opportunities over the next, you mentioned 6 months or so, to bring earnings really to pre-corona levels already in 2022, i.e. would a lack of opportunity prevent you from a strong earnings recovery between 21 and 22, because I assume that the current pipeline to be delivered in 22 is already attractive, and you say projects which you might acquire next year will only be delivered in, let's say, 23, 24, or is it the wrong way of thinking?
No, Andrew, you're absolutely right. If we don't get our arms around opportunities, okay, we won't get to pre-corona levels, period. Now, again, a common sense question. With the situation aggravating every week, how likely do you think that everybody, okay, is going to go through the crisis undamaged? After 11 years of boom, after a leverage of in many cases more than 90%, but with a 36 months life, and often even with some mezzanine financiers involved that are desperately waiting for a building permit, which is not coming because the civil servant that is responsible for it caught COVID. Now, if you say this all will result in nothing, the world is going to go back to normal mid of next year, there is no impact whatsoever, and all the banks in this world that you know and I know are holding their feet still, okay, then there is a chance that we won't get back to these levels. If your common sense tells you it will be at least like in the in the financial crisis, okay, that opportunities come out of this, and I think the opportunities will be bigger, then you're pretty much there. At the moment, okay, there are a lot of vultures circling over the dry land, okay, and the good thing is we are not vultures, okay, we are kind of, you know, elephants that are prepared to push the thirsty animal to the next water hole, if you want. Maybe not the best of picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but again, if you, I hear what you say, but what is really the case if there are no opportunities? So nobody knows. The same believer as you that there will be opportunities, but this would not be the case. Your current pipeline is too.
Then we will be at the lower earnings level, because then we would have to kind of, you know, do business as usual, that's not going to be good enough to make up for the kind of 12 months non-acquisition period. And it will take us longer to recover to pre-corona levels, clearly.
Yeah, but if you indicated 200 to 300 million, if you divide it by four, then you are up at, let's say, 50 to 70 million. So this is the level you reached in the years before. Probably not in the record year last year, but so this is a sufficient level. That's what I want to say.
That's a fair mathematical assumption.
Okay. And further opportunities will drive this on top of this.
Yes.
Thanks for the explanation. Another question is, could you remind me on the property volume which you might have to take on your own balance sheet into investment properties from not sold projects next year, and how will this be financed? Will this be financed short-term, mid-term? Could you put some words on that?
Yeah, maybe I take this question. So I guess you refer to the hotels we need to cater for at least a certain time frame on our own books. Just a reminder of this one. Three of these hotels, they are at equity. One is a fully consolidated one. That is the one in Knoiterdijk in Den Haag. Overall, I assume that we need 100 million, maybe 110 million in order to cater for that when it comes to balance sheet. When it comes to financing, we are pretty much down the road. The one reason for this one is we have financed some of the hotels already with a longer view before the corona crisis, because we thought maybe we need to pass on the financing to a buyer. So they are not ending with the development phase. They go a little bit further down the road. So there is enough time if we see we need to take them longer to come with a standing financing. And for the one where we might need a financing because we have not done a financing yet, we are also close to get one. We are there looking at financing, which we take for, let's say, 3 years, for example. So we get into a standing financing there. So from a financial point of view, that is fairly digestible. From a balance sheet point of view, I love to take them off my balance sheet if I could. But you have to see that they are roughly in the range of 100 to 110 million.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And the very last question also to you, Patrick. You mentioned the issuance of this Schuldscheindarlehen of 50 million you are striving for. What is expected maturity here on the indicated 3% coupon?
Yeah. So what we're trying to do is we do an exchange offer on the 50 million we would need to refinancing end of next year. So there are two blocks we have in front of us. One is the bond, which is kicking in this year, which will be repaid. And the ones we are talking about, the Schuldschein, is a Schuldschein for end of next year. Maturity would be 5 years, like the old one has. So it is, as I said, an exchange offer. And a good part of the money is hopefully coming from the exchange, and there is also coming some fresh money in. So we are looking at a 5-year time frame.
Okay.
Like the old one was. Basically, it's paste and copy of the old one.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. That's from my side.
Thanks.
And there are no more questions at this time. I hand back to Thomas Winkler for closing comments.
Thank you, Haley. And thank you, guys. Great questions. Great interest, very encouraging for us. It is also a confirmation of the course that we are taking. I am always delighted to talk to you guys and look forward for the full year presentation. Until then, stay healthy and have a nice Christmas. Bye-bye.